Christmas Eve and Christmas.
Yeah, we're there.
To everyone. You know, we're right there, right around the corner. What's going on? Another early morning. Well, not early morning. It's morning for me, almost afternoon for you. So
I like doing
an early
these.
Pod.
I feel alive. I feel well rested. Have the day off today, so you know we're gonna do a little bit of youngling, keeping it light. And then I also have my coffee next to me here, so it'll be a, I'll feel a little loose and a little hyper.
Well, I got the beers coming later, so I'm just starting with coffee and that's it.
Smart, smart. Pace yourself. Yourself. Chad, we got Boxing Day coming up. Big, long list of games. This is going to be a crazy week in itself, but we just have to go. Let's go back a couple days here. exciting weekend, eventful weekend. A lot of score lines that I would have never predicted. Though, top of the leaderboard for the week on Pick'ems. Well done. 4 out of 5.
I don't know how I picked so well, but I'm happy to do it. You know, I'm trying to be more mindful of remembering to make my picks. I just did my picks for Boxing Day last night, actually, because I had a small freak out of like, oh, games in the morning, but no. but they're in, so I'm ready.
You're one of the few people in the Pick'ems that picks draws, by the way.
I mean, I didn't start that way, but then, I don't know, I felt like there was always a game or two in there that was a draw that, you know, we all want to lean towards games getting goals, but I'm trying to be a little more objective, I guess, and realize when a game might end as a draw. Like, if it's an Everton game these days, it's probably a draw.
That's a fair assessment. We had two draws on the weekend. We counted 6 clean sheets. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 clean sheets on the weekend. That's pretty incredible. And then, of course, the stat that you brought up the other day. Go ahead, take it away. It's a beautiful one.
It's a beautiful one. Going back to November 1st, if you just take the table from there, you know, it's if you want to look at the top of the table, Chelsea's up there 1 point above Liverpool, but Liverpool still has the game in hand, so not really. But the real highlight that in my head and a heart I knew because I have been following it, but just to see it laid out this way was just such a slap in the face. Man City, bottom of the table, 20th since November 1st, only 4 points. Even, you know, Southampton, Leicester have 5 points in that time. So it really just highlights the crazy just collapse of what City's going through. And, you know, I know we were kind of texting about this earlier, but like when this first started, I was like, oh, well, Pep, yeah, he'll be fine. He's brought City so much joy over the years and so much control. You know, I think he's untouchable, but I don't know now. I feel like there could be a point where City just has to cut the cord early. You know, if this run continues or, you know, improves but minimally, I think it'll be rocky. I think the real thing is going to be if they don't move on to that next phase of Champions League and get knocked out of that early. I think that coupled with these performances could be enough to kind of force City's hand. Like they have to do something. Pep has been a key component of their success, but you can't let your team like completely collapse and crumble.
How long will this go on for is a question I think the board is having and possibly Pep too. You know, they play Everton this week and I believe their record against Everton since Pep has taken over is 16-1, 16-0. It's something along those lines to where some pundit asked him, you know, good matchup for you guys this week. You haven't lost to them in forever. I'm like, yeah, throw that out into the air. Pep said there is no good matchup for us right now, which is a fair statement to make too. At least he didn't hide the fact that his team was not doing too great at the moment. Should we just dive into that City game first off and just get that out of the way here? Because that was a game that I was a little more hesitant on City actually, I don't know, not showing up for that game. Aston Villa played their counters perfectly. They finished great. They did everything they needed to do to win that game, and Pep and that team just looked lost again.
Yeah, and you know, this starting lineup is not their first 11, but much closer than it had been in you know, the past week or two. So I thought, yeah, they would be a little bit more of the structured kind of free flow City that we saw or are used to seeing. But no, it was still just a weird mishmash of like, no one knows what to do or who to look to. And yeah, you know, Aston Villa came out ready to play. You know, our boy Duran got the start, gets a goal.
Been waiting for that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I assume City's luck will change here soon. I don't know if it'll be against Everton. They have Leicester after that. You know, that's two what should be winnable games for City, but, you know, we'll see how this version of City does. But it's just incredible that they continue to just look so poor. Like, it's not even that they're losing to, you know, a lucky goal or deflection or anything. They just are out of ideas or out of any, like, sense of what made City a threatening team.
It's crazy to me that this team has the former Premier League Player of the Year in Foden. Haaland, the most goals scored last year. And I'm going to put more on Haaland right now, but it's like, why is he not demanding the ball? Like, wherever he is on the pitch, I don't even care if there's two guys on me. Let me just see if I can make something happen, because he draws such attention and gravity. And when he gets the ball, it definitely makes people pause for even a quarter second, whatever it might be. They go, okay, Haaland's on the ball. What's going to happen next? I feel like no one else on City right now has that type of what's the right word here? Aura around them, just because you don't, like, most of those guys, like, you know, they're not going to do something wild. Grealish has just been out of form. Foden, same. Silva, same. Gundogan, same. But like Haaland, you never know. You really don't. And for him to only get 18 touches this game, which is a team low for the starting 11, that's crazy. Like, I get it. Like, you want to find him through the balls, and you want to find him to maybe get tap-ins or headers. They crossed the ball to him one time in that game.
Oh.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And that's it. Is like, whether something happens or not, we've seen when he gets on the ball and he starts running, he's like, you know, a truck through a brick wall. He's not stopping. It's if a goal doesn't come from him in that, he can at least maybe create some of that chaos in the back line and in the box, and someone can pick up the pieces and tap it in. But, you know, they don't seem to be playing that. Like, I almost think he needs to go watch what Harry Kane was doing at Tottenham and just starting to drop back, pick up the ball and start something, right? Because, you know, it you need him on the ball, whether he's in form or not right now. I think he's one of your best threats, right? Like you said, you never know. Like, his shots are generally very good, even from weird angles, weird aerial, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I think you're right. Demand the ball, and if you're not getting the goal, you could be creating something, and or at least, you know, getting the defense to adjust to you now dropping deeper, and then that maybe they push up because they're like, you know, they all through training all week they've been taught to follow you, right? Or like stick to you, basically. So if you're dropping in, maybe that opens the wing a little bit. I don't know, but they gotta try something new, because the current game plan is certainly not working.
There's few players in the league that can put Haaland in a pocket one-on-one. A couple Arsenal guys, Virgil, you know, we can kind of go down the list if we really wanted to. Be like, yeah, maybe they match up nicely one-on-one. But most of these other teams, especially Villa, I don't think you can't have a one-for-one match upon him. So there's got to be some opening there. you know, the game plan to go against him has been excellent by all these teams. No disrespect from anyone else for shutting down Haaland. To keep him to 18 touches is damn impressive. And to have, let's count it, one tackle and one clearance on the game. That's crazy. No shots. Okay, I'm sorry, one shot, no shot on target. It wasn't really a shot on target or even close to that. It's just wild to see this team's downfall. You know, Doku and Savinho, when they get on the ball, great dribblers, fast, quick, but have no crossing, no finishing, no threat on the goal. So that's even when Liverpool played City a couple weeks back and those guys were in the box, kind of just being fancy feet, it was just let them do that. That's okay. Nothing's going to happen. And nothing did happen. And it seems to be the trend that they're doing right now. This team's in trouble, Chad. This Everton game is going to be must watch again.
And again, it's the early game. Come on.
Is it even on? It's on Boxing Day, right?
Yeah, 4:30 in the morning for me.
Is it really? Oh, yeah. All right. We'll shoot for that one, but
yeah.
Fascinating stuff, dude. Never would have guessed it. So now I want to ask this question. City's awesome. Like, in the last decade, City is awesome. Great players, you know, great coach, great stability. What teams right now would rather trade places with City? Because it seems like everyone, and I'm gonna narrow this down. I'm gonna spotlight it on one other team. But a lot of teams right now are seems like they're kind of figuring some stuff out. Southampton just got a new coach. He's saying, I can take in $5 million players and turn them into $8 million players. Yeah. Like I'm kind of on the lookout for Southampton for the second half of the season, considering they're 6 points away from relegation. Wolves with a new coach, new system. Saw's back, 3-0 this weekend. Ipswich, I'm a little worried for, but I feel like the bottom of the half of the table is kind of figuring stuff out. Everton looking better. Palace looking better. It's the middle of the table right now. I'm going, what the hell is going on here? Tottenham, Brentford, United, Brighton. I thought you were going to be locked in a little more, and that's not happening. So the real question I want to ask you is, which of the Manchester would you rather be right now? Because right now I'm swinging United.
I think you'd have to swing United. You know, they're certainly not performing to the levels that everyone, well, I think we all assume they should be at. The level that they're at right now, because
I'm talking right now, today.
But I think, you know, United does have better upward trajectory at this point. Like, you know, new manager come in, so some good performances already, but some tweaks here and there, some bad performances. But I think you're starting to see, well, you're at least seeing more kind of free play in United than we did under Ten Hag. And I think that's, considering the players they have, I think that's kind of what they needed, is just to be like let loose a little bit. You know, and they have players that are actually performing well, like, you know, Diallo's been just a menace. You know, even their back line has been better, like still shaky, still Onana doing risky moves because that's what he wants to do. But I think you have to take United as the better of the Manchester clubs at this moment in time, even though the table doesn't show it. But you know, they look like they have some idea of what they're trying to do out there compared to City, who is just I don't think it's 11 individuals yet, but it feels like it's very close to falling into that and you know, being just a total dysfunction.
I feel like Pep takes these players and turns them into system players for his. But he's taking players who were such free-flowing players like a Grealish and a Doku, who didn't necessarily need to have a game plan. It was a give me the ball and I'll figure it out on the go. And now I feel like those guys are so in their head where it's okay, I got to control the ball, keep the ball. If I lose possession of it, you know, Pep might take me out. That's not Pep's system. I got to make sure possession is number one, which, like, those players, especially Grealish, Aston Villa, totally different from how he played there to here. I hope he gets a move. It'd be cool to see him kind of go back to Aston Villa. I think he'd kind of slot in nicely there. But that's a guy who I think is probably on the way out. But again, the depth in City is lacking. So
yeah,
if you get rid of him, okay, who's his replacement? And, you know, how do you move forward with this squad now? Because he's 29, so that's not the worst. But as a winger, that's definitely on the way out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, this team it's fascinating. With United compared to City, it's like night and day right now. Even though the records are different, it looks like United have some motivation behind them. A coach with a head on his shoulders knows the right thing to say. Seems like a pretty funny guy too, with his latest press conference talking about the leaks in the roof. That was, oh man, what a dig. I hope United can figure. Did you see the new infestation?
They got rats.
Literal rats. They got literal rats.
Literal. You know, it's so that's the thing. You know, United's got all this extra stuff going on in the club, and he's at least getting the players to just focus in and play. Where City, while yes, they have the whole 115 charges and all that going on, you know, I think Pep should be able to just kind of have them all focus on playing, but I don't know. It's something has happened. I don't know if, you know, they've just been so good for so long and now won it all, and it's just hard to get motivated again, because, you know, you've heard Pep say the same motivational speech over and over. You know, certainly injuries play a part in that, but, you know, all these teams are going through injuries right now, and I don't think anyone else is looking to fall it off so hard.
No. Not even close. Fascinating stuff. We could go on and on and on. Maybe we're 20 minutes in, Chad, and digging on City. I love it.
Long may it continue. I love to see it. You know, it's not just a small blip. It's now, even if it doesn't end up being a whole season collapse, I think you can at least define, you know, this winter period as a collapse.
Absolutely. Definitely the biggest surprise in the EPL for this first half of the season.
Yeah.
All right. Want to talk Arsenal? Then we'll go Liverpool.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a weird, crazy game.
Weird and crazy, right? Yep.
You know, I think it's always hard to play the same team twice in 1 week. Mm-hmm. You know, and for the most part, Palace played the same team in both games. You know, Arsenal rotated fairly heavily in the midweek game. But, you know, Jesus resurrected, got his hattie there. So that was great to see.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Yeah, you know, his resurrection might come at the perfect time here, as, you know, Saka has gone out with looking to be a hamstring injury. All the early, you know, Reddit doctors are estimating it's maybe like 8 week, 6 to 8 week time on the sidelines and getting back fit and everything. So if Jesus can come back into form and provide some goal threat, it's the perfect time to do it. You know, that Arsenal's going to have to figure it out without Saka. Like they have in games before, but, you know, you see when things don't work, the ball just gets thrown to Saka and almost like, please help us figure it out. And generally he can get something going, but we'll see. So we'll see what they can do with that. But you know, Jesus almost gets another hattie.
Oh man, he could have had four.
Ugh. I feel for him because like those goals are there.
And for sure.
I feel like he probably looked back and said, I couldn't have gotten at least like one of those just to get the hattie. But man, great performance from him. I liked Martinelli on the right wing, taking over Saka's spot. I mean, Arsenal play so right side heavy anyway, so I think that'll really help Martinelli and his numbers and his performance on the season, just because now he's going to be in the, preferred side. Mm-hmm. He looked good. You know, Declan came in, goal and an assist, like his goal. I got to shout out Sar, though.
Mm.
He's got the confidence right now. He's taking that ball, just the one little, not even like a step, a little like nudge of the ball, and gets it around Saliba. And great shot, you know. So he's popping off. I'm just gonna throw it out there. if you're looking to drop Haaland in fantasy, Sar might be the guy. He's scoring.
Sar's a forward. He's there.
So, yeah, certainly one, you know, we've been keeping an eye on, but everyone else, maybe look at Sar, see what he's doing, because he's on this team. He's leading this team, you know, and trying to drag Mateta with him. I feel like he's trying to set him up, or at least, like, work with him, and Mateta just kind of keeps missing his chances. But, I think the 5-1 feels maybe a bit more flattering to Arsenal than how defensively we played, but the attacking side, I think, was on fire on the day, and everyone looked pretty good. So happy to get Palace out of the way. I was nervous leading into it with them finding form, and I'm glad Sar getting an early goal didn't disrupt the whole flow of Arsenal's game, and they're able to just kind of place their dominance on there, and we got a little lucky on some missed shots, or David Raya making some good saves. Mm-hmm. But still in it. It's 2 points behind Chelsea now, 6 and a game in hand behind Liverpool. So still in the conversation though, which is all I can ask for at this, halfway point basically. So cheers to that, and that's a good Christmas for me.
I will say, Palace didn't play like it was a 5-1 game. They played, no. They played a lot better than that. The goals they got, it happens. But overall, even when the game was 3-1, I remember I said to Kristen, I was like, "You feel good about this?" And she was like, "She's like, yeah." She said like a sarcastic like, "Yeah," and I was like, "No, you don't." And I was like, "It was just the way Palace was attacking. They still looked like they were in it." I think by the fourth one, it was like, okay, like that will wrap it up. But even at that 3-1 point, I was like, they can get another one here and make it interesting.
Yeah.
And they had opportunities to do it.
That's what I kind of like about Palace right now, is they're almost kind of looking like they did at the end of last season, where they came out and wanted to play these games and want to attack, Yes, they're lower in the table than they were, at the end of last season. So I'm glad they're kind of finding the comfort still to do that and not just try and sit back and, wait for the perfect counter or anything. They lost Eze again, so that's kind of a bummer. But I don't know. Sar, I think, is just riding such a confidence high, and it seems like every shot he takes is, if not going in, forcing a save. So if they can keep him healthy and wake Mateta up a little bit, I think, they have a pretty good attacking side, especially with, Munoz and Mitchell bombing down the wings. They've always caused issues and done their part. So I think they'll come up. I don't think their season's not over yet. I think they'll find a way back up to 12th or something where they truly belong.
Yeah. 12 or bust. That's what we do.
Yeah.
For Eze, there'll probably be some people come knocking in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
He's an A player. He's great. But he can't stay on the pitch.
Yeah.
Do you sell him for a B player who's going to be there every single day? Maybe.
True.
Maybe. I don't know who that B player might be. But there's got to be someone out there who can give him quality every single day. Every single time they take the pitch, because I love Eze. The way he plays is great. He works in Crystal Palace so perfectly. But he's only there, it feels like, every other game, if that, and that makes it really difficult to build chemistry with your team. You can go down the list of everything that being there every day brings. But do you take quality every other game at this rate? Is what it feels like, or
you can kind of look at. Villa with Morgan Rodgers, like,
true,
they just brought him up from a championship team. So yes, you got to find a team willing to sell maybe their star player, one of their better players, but I don't think it's out of the question to look a little bit lower and just see who's performing and who has a less impacted injury record, because when Eze's on, yeah, he's great, but it's just kind of becoming the thing of, you know, I don't know if teams will be too keen to look at him just because of his injury record. Like, if you're going to pay whatever money Palace is going to ask for, you want to be able to use him, and, you know, more than a handful of games at a time, and then he goes out. So, I don't know. I think you're onto something good there with, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, maybe drop the quality a tad, but you got someone that's in there that's always available, that's always playing. Like, no shade to Gibbs White, but I think he could be kind of a move like that. Not that he would drop from Forest to Palace, but I think that's kind of that player, right, where he's good. You know, when he's on his day, he looks great. But for his biggest quality, I think that he's just always available for Forest, and you know, still brings that creativity and that attacking side. So I'd hope they're looking at something like that, just, or at least getting just someone in to rotate with Eze more, you know,
for sure.
Even if you want to keep Eze and you know, just help him out, because clearly he doesn't have the fitness to at least do, you know, two games in a week here, you know. So yeah, I don't know. See what they do, but I'm just all on Sar right now, honestly. So
yeah, again, we're keeping our eyes on him, and we will, I think, until the end. He'll be going in the next best, I think, for winter. And then we'll kind of see what he does in the future. But Palace needs to score more goals for me to want him, I think.
Yeah, it's fair.
If he was a midfielder, I'd consider it a little more, but
yeah,
I want those goal scoring forwards. Chad, I did forget to bring this up in the City game really quick here, but that was Foden's first goal of the year. And we were talking about confidence and how Jesus is now, you know, 5 goals in the last week. That brings out a huge confidence in a player. I did read in the Manchester City subreddit that Foden got his goal, like, sky's the limit now with him. And I was like, full pause. I was like, hang on. I was like, that's crazy. And it definitely made me laugh. And the serious comments were, yep, like, this could kick start his season. I was like, he got a garbage time goal. I was like, yeah, nice goal, but, like, I don't know. It's different from Jesus in terms of grabbing a hat trick, haven't been on the pitch in a long time. I mean, Foden's been on the pitch every single game. It's not like he's been missing out on stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like he's coming back from injury it's a straight, I am not in form right now, and I haven't been since, we'll call it last May. Because Euros, he didn't do a whole lot. So
I think that's fair.
I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up because I was surprised when I read that was his first goal of the year, considering what happened last year. And he was destroying.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's good for him to get his first goal. But, yeah, I don't know that a goal alone would be enough to, like, kick on some good form. Like, I don't think he's even played well in, you know, the rest of the games and was just unlucky to not get a goal. It's going to take a little bit more than, yeah, a 92nd, 93rd minute goal, whatever it was. Like, yeah, it was fine, and it'll bring you some confidence, sure, but I wouldn't be expecting him to turn around and, you know, throw up a hattie against Everton next week or 2 days from now.
If he would have got a bracer and then secured a point or something, a little different. But it was literally a 92nd minute goal in the game and 40 seconds later. So I don't know. All right, on to Liverpool, Chad.
Let's do it.
Come on. All right, you know what the game plan was? Get the ball to Trent Alexander-Arnold and let him dish it into everyone. Team high, 93 touches. Next highest was 70. It was a clear and simple game plan. Get him the ball. Let him distribute. I loved every second of that. When the game reached 5-1, that's when you could just tell, kind of shut off.
Yeah.
And let me just double check here. I think Tottenham got those 2 goals within 10 minutes of each other.
Pretty quick, yeah.
The 72nd and 83rd. And then from that point, it was like, okay, we might have to turn it up a little bit. And then, of course, we get that sixth goal. And I was like, okay, done, sealed, it's over. But wow, right from the start, Chad, this game was like, it felt like it was going back and forth, back and forth. And I predicted, a 5-1 victory for Liverpool, and I was pretty close. Thought I was going to get there. I told it to Kristen that morning, and I said, "Yep, 5-1. Like they're gonna attack." I saw their back line, and I said, "Holy crap, what is that?" Now I will say their injuries are destroying them. That's totally unlucky. That's something that, you know, again, teams have to work through and go through. So Ange ball is exactly how this game went. Yeah, we scored three, but they scored six. His excuse this game was, well, Liverpool would probably let in 6-2 if they didn't have their two starting center backs and starting goalkeeper. Okay. Oh, I hear you. However, we had that before, and I don't recall six goals getting let in. There's times when we had to start Konate and Joe Gomez and had Kelleher in the back line. There's times when we haven't had Trent back there for at least in the last year, and we were in the in the title race.
You brought in a young Connor Bradley, and he slotted in and it was good to go, you know.
and with Liverpool, we have these players who can be flexible. Hell, last week we had Gravenberch playing center back, and now he was rated as a top five center back in the league because of his stats that game. Like, you adjust players to where their strengths are, and when he put Archie Gray back there, I went like, it's over. I like before the game even begun, I was like, how are they going to defend this? Like, there's no way. And it was a slice and dice game, crashing the box. When you have McAllister winning headers at the 6-yard line of the goal box, like, it's not looking great. Forster's had a rough week. His team backed him, Son backed him, saying he's bailed us out in a lot of ways. And then when he came out in this game and almost had a howler within the first, I think it was like first 4 to 5 minutes, where he tried to pass it to someone, and Liverpool probably should have scored in the sequence.
I
could tell the fans were like, oh shit, like, why did like, you have to support your guys, but it was a moment of panic and pause. All around, that was a really fun game to watch. Szoboszlai's on it right now. This is like, I know you're jealous as hell. I know it. Just the way he's finding players, the way he's making runs. The ball is at his feet a ton. It's what we like to see. Diaz finishing great. Love him central. I think him being in the central role is interesting. He definitely tends to still tail to that left wing. He likes going that way, which is fine. It works out. I mean, it almost pulls players away from Salah on the weak side. But man, again, it's just when you put up six and let in three, it's like, it's not the best. A 9-goal game is a little crazy. But again, like, we could have put in 7 or 8 if this game would have continued on for a little bit longer, and then maybe they would have got that fourth one. So this game was always going to be a back and forth in terms of pace down the pitch, but I was never worried about scoring this game.
No, I think you're right. It's, Liverpool got it to 5-1 before they, you know, really took their foot off the gas, which if you're going to do it, I'd say that's a fair score line to you know, pull back at. But then we saw, you know, right after, Solanke gets his goal, the 83rd, Liverpool said, all right, well, we're back on. And then 85th minute, Diaz gets his second goal. And it looked so easy.
So easy, dude. We just marched down there, put it in box. It was like, it had to have been the first shot after that goal.
Probably, yeah. And I mean, that just shows, like, how good Liverpool is and was on the day, compared to Tottenham. Like, yeah, they got the three goals, and I think that paints this a little bit differently than if you actually watch the game, but it was just different levels, right? And yes, they have a ton of injuries in that back line, and it's crazy, but personally, if I were to be a manager and I have, you know, a bad back line due to injuries, I don't think I'm going to play so attack heavy against, you know, league leaders right now and, you know, a known threatening quick team. I'm probably packing that back line a little bit more, you know. I don't know. There has to be some young center back in your academy that is a touch more promising than, you know, putting Gray at center back. Like, he's already young. And I'll give him credit. I think he played pretty well considering the circumstances. You know, he had some good blocks, good mm-hmm. moments, but, you know, he's just not a center back. And that showed also, you know, and I just think there has to be someone in your club somewhere. I don't care if he's 14 or you know, whatever age, but like a trained center back that could have just stepped in here maybe would have had the same outcome, but you know, it's someone who would be more comfortable in the role. You know, I get it's a big occasion. It might have been too much for them, whatever, but I think you just got to be able to adjust your tactics a little bit here. Like putting letting 6 goals in at home is just kind of crazy, regardless of your injuries.
For this type of squad too, isn't a relegation based team. Yeah, I agree with that. I guess my only, I guess, conflict with your statement of like, if you're going to pack the box, look, Tottenham hasn't played that way in, I guess at this point, a year and a half, two years. So would you rather lose this game 4-0 and you pack the box, or lose this game 6-3 and at least you're still playing your same way? Neither are great options. That's just my argument here. If I was Ainge, which he's using, it's not.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's less of, the outcome there, I think, but being able to see that, okay, we can adjust our tactics and try to, you know, do whatever we can to win a game, right? Whereas, like, I can appreciate they want to come out and attack and go at teams, and, you know, when it works, it works, and that's great. And if you had your whole back line, you know, this game would have probably not ended 6-3, but...
Maybe,
but you know, I just feel like you can't just always have just this one plan and just like never want to deviate from it and expect to place well at the end of the season here, or, you know, Ainge says he always wins the second season. Well, it's not looking very good right now. You know, you're into the next round of the League Cup, but you're playing against Liverpool. So I don't know. Hopefully they'll have, you know, some players back by then, but if I'm Liverpool, you know, I'm going into that game now with even more confidence, because yes, the injuries, but like we played through you so easily up until, you know, 5-1, where we finally started to take a little break.
We turned it off, and then we turned it right back on again and said, oh, yeah, this is how easy it is to score against you. We got in 2 weeks, we'll be seeing them again. And by that time, we'll have Connor Bradley and Konate back. So that actually might be their first game back is against Tottenham, which will be good. Tottenham could have easily done some. And you can always change a game plan mid-game. You can always sub him out. Liverpool started Kwanzaa at the beginning of the season. He lasted one half, and our slot said, yeah, no, that's not going to work with me right now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've really have seen no difference in how Tottenham has played in over a year and a half now. That's crazy. I mean, hey, stick to your guns. But at the same time, this is you have to adapt. You have to evolve.
That's what I'm saying.
And if you don't, this is what happens.
And like, yeah, it's, I don't see it as much anymore, but a lot of people were like heaping praise and admiration on Ainge for just sticking to his guns. But I don't think that's a good way forward. I think, you know, for the club culture and all that Ainge has brought to Tottenham, I think he's doing a good job with all that. But I think that can only get you so far if, you know, performances aren't there. Then, yeah, you know, brought us more joy watching the team because they're attacking more than they did under, you know, Conte and all these other managers and stuff. But, like, you got to at least win some games and, you know, at least at least showed, yeah, just, I guess, yeah, adaptability is what Ainge needs to learn, and he doesn't seem to want to learn that, which is fine, but then I don't think this is the league or the job for you.
They have 8 losses on the season with the most goals scored in the Premier League. If you turn 8 of those losses and make 4 of those draws, they're in top 5. So, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, gosh, I feel like so many of their games, they probably could have drawn if they made their game plan a little different. But I don't know. This is it's a fascinating squad. He's definitely on the hot seat. Problem is who takes over for Ainge at this point. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no one really on the market right now. The only person out there is that I can think of is Zidane, but there's no way he's coming to Tottenham.
No.
That would be incredible if he did, but I don't think so. Yeah, happy to beat them, happy to smash them. That's exactly what I wanted. That was a game we needed, 2 draws in a row. You know, if we had a third one, it's okay, Chelsea's now right on our tail here. Chelsea dropping points, that was very helpful. The game in hand, which I thought was going to happen sometime this week, but I don't think it is now. So I don't know when that Everton-Liverpool game is going to be made up.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about it yet. I don't know. It might be a late one because, you know, if Liverpool stays in the League Cup and FA Cup and stuff, like plus Champions League, it might be hard to find a good week.
Which is a bummer. I hate when things get staggered in this table just because it kind of throw some things off. Its perspectives look a little different. It looks much closer than it actually is. But again, it gives you a little bit of wiggle room too. And you know, if right now we didn't have a game in hand, I'd still be pretty happy with
oh, sure,
how we're looking. So I think the biggest losers on the day though is probably Chelsea.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest, I should say. But to draw Everton, again, Everton, well done. No disrespect. You get your flowers. Mm-hmm. But Chelsea, man, I'm shocked they did not score a goal this game. Kristen actually talked me out of not picking or picking Chelsea this game over Bournemouth, and I regret all of it.
Yeah, you know, look, Everton caused issue for Arsenal last week. You know, kept it to a draw there, and here they did it again. So if this is the form that Everton is finding, where they just are able to get draws against, you know, teams that have the capability to beat them, then that's what you got to do when you're at that bottom end. Just grab the points where you can and frustrate the other team and keep moving forward.
This is what I call dice ball, Chad. Okay, you ready for this? Last 7 games, okay, lost 1-0 against Southampton. They want that back. West Ham, 0-0. Everton, Brentford, 0-0. Man United, Everton, 4-0. They got whooped on. But then Everton, Wolves, 4-0. Arsenal, Everton, 0-0. Everton, Chelsea, 0-0. Rack up those points any way you can.
Exactly. I mean, look, you got 16 points. You're 4 ahead of, you know, being in the relegation zone. So any way you can, just get a little more distance there. And I think they will need to get some wins together here if Wolves are finally coming to life. But yeah, surprised Chelsea couldn't find the back of the net. You know, when Pickford's on it, he's just a different beast back there, and somehow finds a way to make these saves and just like put attackers off.
They have the most clean sheets in the league, tied with Liverpool, which is shocking in itself. Take away that Man City or the Man United game, and they've let in 17 goals, which is top 3 would be Arsenal, Liverpool, Everton. So again, they're sitting 6 right now, 21 allowed, but that's better than City. That's better than United. That's better than Aston Villa. So
yeah, wow.
Dice ball is in full effect. I mean, you get points, you get draws. So who needs to score?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Chelsea will definitely be disappointed considering how they've been playing. But, you know, there's always going to be little stumbles here and there. So, not the worst result, but, you know, for how hot they've been looking and considering other results on the weekend, I think they'll probably feel a little bit bummed out. But, you know, lucky for them, it's a quick turnaround to, you know, games in 2 days now. So easy peasy. Right back into it. Who they got, though? Fulham. So, and, you know, Fulham, I'd say, is maybe looks worse than Everton in these recent weeks. So
Fulham's such a hit or miss team, dude. You just don't know what you're going to get. Like, them not beating Southampton, them getting points against Liverpool and Arsenal, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah. So a lot of these games for pick-ems, it's going to be a toss-up, I think, for me. Mm-hmm. I think Joakim Anderson will be back for Fulham this week, so that'll be big on their back line. Yeah, should be. I don't think anyone from Chelsea should be out.
Should be okay, yeah.
Cucurella's still out. Oh, yeah, the Mudryk scandal. Did he do it or did he not do it?
I don't know. But, again, I think Arsenal dodged a bullet on that one. So
conspiracy theory, Chad. If he gets caught with this doping thing, his contract is totally nulled and voided. Did Chelsea maybe do something with this? And he's not before. I don't want to pay him for another 8 years.
maybe. I mean, seems weird for it to just all of a sudden now come out, right? Like, he's been there a little bit and has had zero issues.
It's crazy. I'm not saying Chelsea poisoned their players, but it's just, I always find it fascinating when a player gets tested for doping and they get caught and they're like, I had no idea. Like, what? I've never heard of that drug before.
You know, it's always like, oh, that drug is also in NyQuil or whatever. I was taking NyQuil and that's why it showed up. So,
yeah,
sure.
Pogba had a protein shake and found its way in. Yeah, I don't know. It's fascinating. I want to see more in Cuckoo with this team. I don't think he's getting enough minutes.
Not at all.
Yeah. I think Chelsea in this winter window is probably going to sell some players or at least try to. I could see him possibly going elsewhere. Just because he's not getting play time, or if movement happens elsewhere, then maybe he will get more play time. But he's one to watch for me, just because when we've seen him play, it looks like quality, it looks nice. I wish there was more. I don't know. I could see a team like PSG. I could see an out of Premier League team coming for him.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the craziest thing. I mean, even if they lose him, they still have Joao Felix on the bench, which I still forget he's on this team again. So
I wonder if City would come knocking for any of these players.
Wouldn't be the worst idea. I mean, they need some younger age profile in that team, and that's kind of Chelsea's whole shtick, is sign young, somewhat promising players, and you know, if they perform, cool. If not, we sell them. So they got to do something. So I wouldn't be surprised if they would try for someone. Maybe be like, hey, Palmer, come on back, boy.
That'll never happen. And Cuckoo is one of their oldest players on the team, Chad, at a ripe 27. He could be the one. I mean, I go down the list, and believe it or not, Tosin and Cuckoo are the same age, and I feel like Tosin's been around forever. But most of their starters, man, they're 22, 23, Palmer 23, Jackson 23, Caicedo 23, Madueke 22, Sancho 24, Fernandez 23. I mean, no one goes above 25 besides Nkuku. So I don't know. That's one I could kind of see. Maybe City will scoop him up. At this point, wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. I mean, either way, I think you're right that he probably will want to move on, if not winter, by the end of the season, because he's just not getting the minutes that he, I think, would expect to get. You know, he's, since season start, in the league at least, had one game of a full 90, and that was against Southampton. Everything else is, you know, at most are like 15 minutes or less, some, you know, a little bit above that, but only have 190 in that whole time is not what you want as the striker, right? Like
in the last 2 years, he's started 4 games in the Premier League. Okay, the season before he came over when he was with the Red Bulls, he scored 16 goals and 4 assists in 20 starts. Quality's there. Go a year back, 20 goals, 13 assists.
Yeah, so he's got the quality. You know, I think he'll want to be playing. You know, I know Chelsea's more on the up and up than City is these days, but I think if City comes knocking and says, hey, we need something to, you know, rejuvenate this side, you could be the guy. You can play with Haaland. You can, you know, play with De Bruyne while he's still here. You know, just kind of wine and dine him. Maybe give him a little extra money to come over mid-season. I don't know, but I don't think it would be the worst move for either any 3 points of that, Chelsea and Nkunku or City. So it's a good shout. I like that one.
I just wanted to do a quick Google just to see if there were any rumors. Apparently offered to Barcelona. Again, I don't know what Barcelona
need him though.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, where would he kind of fit in?
Yeah.
Nothing too crazy yet. Napoli's checking him out too. So yeah, it could be interesting. Rashford's on the hot seat as well.
Yeah, where do you think he's going? Because he's clearly out of the plans now.
I feel like these guys who are kind of English and not figuring it out go to Italy and then figure it out and do really well there. I'm talking the Tammy Abrahams.
You know,
there's a couple other.
Tomori.
Hudson-Odoi, he's over there too, right?
I think he's back now.
Is he back now?
Is he on... forget where he is.
He's on Forest. He's on Forest.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Who am I thinking of? Someone is on, I want to say AC Milan.
Tomori.
Is Tomori? Okay. There. Oh, there's, no, it's a forward. I'm pretty sure it's a forward.
Oh, forward.
Oh, Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Throwback.
Yeah. And then what? Chris Smalling is or was at Roma?
Chris Smalling. Oh, man. Where is he now? He might still be at Roma. I want to say he went to Turkey for whatever reason.
Oh.
No, he's in... I think he's in Saudi. Al-Fahey. Yeah, he's in Saudi now.
All right. Get that bag. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, that's... I don't know. Like... you know, Ian Wright came out and said, you know, when he came over to Arsenal, he was 28 and, you know, was still able to make something of his career and, you know, leave Arsenal as this, you know, kind of Arsenal legend figurehead, right? So people are writing off Rashford as, you know, oh, career's over because United is done. And I don't think it's necessarily that. I think it will be... you know, obviously a change for him. But I don't think he's going to, you know, step away and we'll see him reappear in like some newly promoted side or anything. It's some team will come knocking for him. I think it'll just be, if he wants to stay in England, I think he'll just have to take a wage cut because a lot of teams won't pay what he's on. And I think even if he goes elsewhere, unless it's like a Saudi or something, you know, he'll just have to take a pay cut. But if you want to play, if you want to try and, you know, get back into these big games, then you got to do what you got to do. And you had a good few years at United, scoring goals, making money, you know. I don't know. I don't know where he'll go. I think out of Premier League is probably the route. If anything, just to kind of get that, like, media spotlight off of him for a while, but...
Everton could maybe use him.
Everton could definitely use him, but I don't know if, you know, he would be down, or maybe, you know, this could be one of those crazy just loan deals where, you know, it gets at least some of the pay off of United and, you know, he doesn't have to be there not playing, not on the bench. So we could get something crazy like that. I think that'd be pretty fun.
I'm going to go Southampton, Leicester, and Everton. Should make a run for him.
Why not?
Southampton could take a stab at him, and he could be a legend at Southampton. He keeps him above.
Exactly.
And then and then that confidence boost can go such a long way. I'm a huge fan of that move. I hope it happens. I hope people don't get play hardball and the fax machine doesn't work anymore and then transfers don't happen.
Well, you know, the roof's leaking and everything, so they probably don't have power for the fax machine either. But
their end of year budget is not looking great. whose fax machine broke and they couldn't do the transfer?
I want to say it was like, was it Madrid?
I want to say Sergio Ramos, which doesn't sound right. But it wasn't, gosh, dang it. I'm gonna do a quick Google on that one.
Transfer. Yeah, I forget who it was.
Was it on All or Nothing? Did they? No.
No, I don't think so.
Was it De Gea?
Oh, I think it was De Gea.
De Gea going to Madrid.
I think so. I think that's what it was. That sounds really
familiar.
Yeah,
here it is. Deal fell apart in the 11th hour because of administration oversight. De Gea's high-profile move to Real Madrid was canceled due to an issue with a fax machine. It's awesome.
Oh, my God.
It's so good. When was that? 3 years ago.
Wow.
Yep. And that gave Real Madrid, I think it was actually more than 3 years ago, but that gave him Keylor Navas.
Mm.
And that got them a Champions League title, I think, against Liverpool. I think that was the year.
Well, there you go. Thanks, fax machine.
The real MVP.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Where are we at here? Man, the clean sheets. Wolves Leicester. Wolves maybe back.
Maybe back.
They, I think a month ago we said they would win this game along with the other ones that we had in mind. We'll see what they do here now. Guedes with a nice goal. I don't know if you saw that one, but he got injured on it, which was a brutal way to go. I think he stayed in, but I do think he's taken some time to heal. And then Saw's back in now. What a snip, snap he's going through.
Yeah.
But played great.
Yeah, looked good. I mean, I don't really know much about this new manager they got. The only thing I saw was that he's had 14 clubs in 20 years or something. So people were up in arms about that, and it's not a good record to have or whatever. But it's like, I don't know. Once you're in that like managerial sphere, I feel like you could move pretty frequently depending on, you know, what level of team you're at. And if, you know, one above comes in for you, you're going to keep moving up and around. So I don't know. I wouldn't be too alarmed by that. I think it's just, you know, if you can get the performances, if you can save Wolves from relegation, like that's all you kind of need to do right now. You don't got to aim too much higher than that. So yeah, glad to see they're looking, I mean, one game, they looked better than they have in these past few weeks where we thought they were going to turn it on. So glad to see Saw back out there. I think, you know, if you're bringing in Johnston and he's like the same age, whatever, older, whatever it was, why not just play Saw? He's been there for so long. He's bailed this team out time and again. And, you know, now if he can build off of this game and get back to his great form, then could just be what the Wolves need to survive.
Yeah, their coach has quite a resume. Take a breath with me, Chad. This is his name. Vitor Manuel de Oliveira Lopez Pereira. He has been with Porto, Olympiacos, Fenerbahce, Shanghai, SIPG, which is where Oscar went to go play. Fenerbahce again, a return after China. The Corinthians, Flamengo, and then he went to Saudi Arabia this year and then came to the Wolves. So yeah, he's been around. But again, pretty high-profile teams. I imagine those teams did well under him to make another team want to come scoop him up.
Yeah,
that's definitely I know him bouncing around a lot is looked at maybe kind of funny, but also he's sought after.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a pro. Yeah, good start for him. I mean, it's a Leicester team that is still going through it. I think Van Nistelrooy has a lot to figure out there.
I think Leicester's just going to need to do something in the winter window to just kind of get a little more life in there. you know, Jamie Vardy can't be pounding Red Bulls every single game anymore. It's just
his heart.
It's not built for that no more. But yeah, you know, Wolves, they got United on Thursday, Boxing Day. So I think, I'm not going to say winnable, but I think, you know, the Wolves are at home. I think you can put in a good shift. And, you know, United is a team that can falter, as we saw this week too. So confidence will be high on Wolves, I think. So keep it rolling.
Another clean sheet here, another a draw in the books. Fulham, Southampton, we kind of touched on it briefly. Fulham probably wishes they could have done more there. Kudos to Southampton for getting the point.
Yeah, great job from them. But, I mean, yeah, if you're Fulham, you can't have Southampton come into your place and not let you score. Like, mm-hmm. I know Ramsdale is back, so
Hansdale.
Is that what they're calling him now?
That's what I'm calling him.
All right. Yeah, so, you know, a little bit more of, I guess, a better keeper back there than, forgot who they had in there while he was out. But
MacArthur?
Oh, yeah, Alex McCarthy.
McCarthy.
Yeah, so we'll see how Southampton get on. You know, it's all changing down there. Mm-hmm. So it's... you know, Fulham, I guess you got unlucky with maybe Southampton's new manager bounce here. But damn, you should be able to get one past Southampton.
Yeah. Shame for Fulham. They'll look back on that one, I think, and wish they could have done better. Newcastle Ipswich, Isaac with the Hattie. You know, this guy has been so inconsistent. And he makes me not want to pick him up. And now I'm like, now you're getting hat tricks again. It's like, what do we do here? I think he's got a third in the league for scoring.
Let me check.
He has 10. I know Salah is at 15, 12. I think Palmer might have 10.
Yeah, you're at Salah 15, Haaland 13, Palmer 11.
Okay.
So, yeah, but, you know, right there in the mix, tied with Mbeumo and Chris Wood, you know, naturally. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, he's definitely one I've always kind of kept an eye on. But then, yeah, he just doesn't seem to be consistent, or then he'll get injured for a little bit. So it's just hard to bank any fantasy run on him. But, I mean... Away at Ipswich, Newcastle kind of coming back to life in recent games, so I think this was more or less expected. Maybe not four, but I think a Newcastle win at least was always expected here.
Jacob Murphy on the score sheet again. This guy, he does the same thing every year. I went through his history. He goes on like a 2-3 game stretch of scoring, and then he's done. So I'm just going to take you back to 2022, four goals that season. Okay. Those all happened pretty close together. Last year, he scored 3 goals. And I think 2 of them came in the game where they absolutely smoked Tottenham. And then he got one shortly after that. Well, now he's on 3 goals right now and 5 assists. So wrap it up. The Jacob Murphy special is over.
He saw Rashford do that like 1 month. Performance thing. He's like, that's pretty sick.
This is the new winter Rashford.
All right.
Yeah, we're gonna call him Murphy. Holiday Murphy.
Holiday Murphy.
You know what I wish I wish we could add this somehow, but in Sleeper Fantasy you could add personal nicknames for your players.
Oh.
I know. I wish there was a way to implement that. But yeah,
it's good.
It's next level. It's fun stuff. You can make a lot of fun nicknames. All right, what are we missing here?
United Bournemouth.
Again, we started off this podcast saying who would you rather be, City or United, and I said United. It doesn't mean that United's good, okay?
No, yeah.
Bournemouth did what I thought they would do. Mm-hmm. Clean sheet, pretty surprised by. I'm surprised. Man United couldn't get one, but Bournemouth, man, they just put up a fight. This is like the true bogey team that no team is probably wanting to face. Like, they know they can beat them, but Bournemouth is going to be scrappy the whole way through.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They play decent enough, so you have to respect them, but then, yeah, they almost play with that, almost that, like, Luton Town kind of just fight, where it just, you can't ever count them out, and, you know, I think they're honing that power almost from the start of games now, compared to, like, being down and then turning it on, and, you know, I think that's what we saw in this game, is they just really came to play, and,
yep.
You know, caused some issues for United's back line, and there you go, you know, United is, what, they had 23 shots, only 7 on target, so a bad day of shooting for United, but, like, come on, you can't get one goal in?
Yeah, I mean, considering they're high off of City, it's a shame. I think they came out this way. I think they were probably expecting a lot more. I didn't get to personally watch this whole game, so I don't know exactly where they could have maybe changed things. I hope Diallo is doing as much as he did in City. They need to keep feeding him ball. I'm sure the game is probably going through Bruno. I guess we can look at touches, but if Diallo is not getting the most touches in these games, I think that's where you're probably going to be at fault here. I'll just compare the two games from each week just to compare Diallo touches, and we'll kind of see what happened. Mm-hmm. Diallo had 64 touches. Bruno had 93. So that's kind of what I thought would happen in this game. In the United City game, Diallo had 50 touches and Bruno had 63. So a lot closer.
Okay.
30 more touches in this week's game. I feel like you need to find a balance between those two.
Yeah, definitely.
Hmm.
I think it's always going to lean to go through Bruno, which I think is not a bad idea. You know, he's creative enough to see the passes and, you know, carry the ball well. But I think you almost have to be willing to make some big adjustments in game if you need to, because, you know, Diallo can make those runs and try and break the line and, you know, get him behind. But if teams are going to plan for that, then okay, maybe try and make Diallo a little bit more of the touch heavy player and leave Bruno a little more open or something. I don't know. But
here's what stats are telling me, Chad. And this is why I love analytics. This is why I hope to work with coaches someday. In the City game, Diallo took on 8 players and was successful 5 times. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kobbie Mainoo, he subbed on 77 minutes, 0 take-ons, 0 attempts. In this game against Bournemouth, guess who led the team in take-ons?
Kobbie.
4 successful, which is fine, but Diallo only had 3 take-ons.
Mm.
1 successful. Why? Like that,
yeah.
I get it. Kobbie's a great player, great young player. But he doesn't have the pace like Diallo. He isn't bombing the wing and having this crazy touch. Not even watching the game. That's for sure what's happening here. I mean, for Kobbie to be the one trying to take people on, probably centrally, if we really want to break this down and see where his heat... We're getting into this one because I need to know. I'm sure Kobe's heat map is central.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I don't imagine he's picking the ball up on the wing too often, so
it's definitely kind of left center mid E. While Diallo is hot in the right attacking corner flag, hot, and also right behind the half line. So I guess Diallo's getting the ball or in the areas that he needs to be, but I don't think he has the ball in those areas.
I'm just looking at least their lineup, how it's posted here. And, you know, you have Bruno and kind of that, like, left wing, but probably still playing more centrally. I think I'd rather see Bruno kind of be more just a center attacking mid in these games. And, you know, play through him or, you know, then let him kind of free roam or something. This would have been nice for, like, a Garnacho or a Rashford on the wing, right? Because then you have someone bombing down the wing and that has the pace, and it's not only Diallo trying to do that. So You know, they'll figure it out, obviously, but I think this is one you probably look at afterwards and you're like, oh yeah, we just, you know, got the balance completely wrong, or the game plan to play through Mainu was not the move. You know, it's just a bummer for United, considering, you know, yeah, coming off the high of the City win, and you know,
it's just looking. It's a true, oh no, we suck again.
Yeah, like it's like that. The City game, yeah, it was. You know, you played better the whole game, and yeah, it took till the very end to really get the win. But that performance into this Bournemouth game, I think, would have been enough to beat Bournemouth or at least get a draw out of it. So I don't know what happens, you know, during the week to disrupt any momentum they had. But well, I guess they lost to Tottenham midweek, so maybe that threw them off a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. You know, should have probably won if they were playing correctly, but you know, it's like we said, the Manchester teams are just both bad right now, and one is a little bit worse. But you know, United, I think, yeah, is the healthier option at this point.
When you say one is a little worse, I was like, I don't know, I don't even know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it could go either way. I feel like, you know, the flip of a coin, you could make an argument for either side. So.
Yep. Nope. I agree with that. All right. West Ham, Brighton. I guess West Ham's the true winner here, just because of where they are on the table. Nice to have Kudus back. He's got his little stool for a king. definitely an interesting quote. I'm like, dude, you've scored like what, two goals this year? Like, let's calm down. Just calm down a little bit. Three goals. My bad. If he wants to say he's the king and get himself a throne, better start putting him in the back of the net. West Ham's going, okay, king.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing. Yeah. And his goal, I mean, you know, rebound, fine. It's great.
Yeah, it had to be there. So, you know, it all works out. But, I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know. West Ham is just another interesting team. I feel like they sometimes look like they have the performances in them to win these things, and then just don't. And then, you know, this one, I feel like they didn't play all that well from what I saw, but, you know, caused enough issue to Brighton to get a goal in there. And I don't know. I'm just, fantasy wise, like, I don't ever feel like Bowen is doing enough, but then he somehow keeps putting up like decent points each week. So I'm like, well, I can't drop you, but
does,
then
he does a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And I think that's his saving grace for fantasy, is he's like, he's getting all these tackles and, you know, getting shots off and dribbles and all that. And, so he's safe for now. I'll tell you, Jared is safe, but, I always keep an eye on him.
West Ham, you know, you just look at them on paper and I'm like, this team looks so good. I'm looking on who's scored right now, and you know, you do have, fun fact, the oldest player in the Premier League, which is, can you guess?
I'd guess Fabianski.
Fabianski, yep, 37, 39. My bad. Vardy's 37. That's what the comparison.
Oh,
is.
Okay, yeah.
39. You know what? Doesn't act like he's 39 out there.
I don't know. Man.
You could tell with the way he plays, the experience. Besides his, he was the one who missed a punch 2 weeks ago, right? Yeah. Besides that one little mishap, I think he's doing okay. Fulkrug is kind of back in the mix now, which should be interesting. I don't know where you slot him in, but I would really like to see Somerville play more. My only suggestion would maybe be Socek comes back a little bit to where Alvarez plays and throw Somerville on the left wing, and maybe bring Kudus a little more central, because I think Kudus is so good at bombing down the middle of the pitch. I mean, we saw him do that 2 weeks ago and he found Bowen and they almost scored off of it. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think those are kind of interesting tweaks they can do. But Juan Bissaka's been playing great. Kilman, we know, is going to be solid back there. I don't know if this was if West Ham was so tied to Antonio just because of loyalty and everything, that Fulkrug, might have been maybe a little injured, but like, didn't want to give up his starting spot until God, tragedy happened. Like, that's crazy. But like, that's what it looks like right now. It's like, okay, now Antonio is completely unavailable. This is your opportunity. It's like, then why did you bring him in the first place? That's my one like big question mark there. But I don't know. I'd like to see Todibo a little bit more. Kufal had a really awkward fall in that game. I thought for sure he was done for the season. That dude is tough as nails. He's like, if I had to pick like five players to be on my team in an alley fight, Kufal's making that team.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dude, he's crazy. I'll have to show you the injury he had. He went up and just landed awkwardly on his knee. And I was like, yeah, tore LCL. Like, he's done. Over. Yeah. Nope. He like walked it off and just kind of grimaced and then was fine. I was like, that's just nuts, dude. This guy's crazy.
All right.
Those checks are wild. But yeah, I think Brighton is the team here that has bigger question marks. They go through these phases of scoring a ton, attacking great, and then now we're back to mid-table team.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, I think this is more or less your starting 11 that you would have for Brighton. You know, maybe Danny Welbeck up top if he was healthy, but beyond that, I think this is pretty much a hit. Like, I don't know. I haven't watched a whole ton of Brighton this season, but I don't think you're getting enough out of Matoma. I don't know if that's just down to him or, you know, tactically he's just not getting in the right spots, but, you know, he's not lighting it up as much as he has. And, what, he's got 3 goals, 2 assists. So, you know, not the worst return at this point, but I feel like, you know, he is such a threat. You need to find a way to utilize him more and get him more involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Danny might've been the glue. Maybe good news for Brighton. We'll see. It's been a very long time, but guess who's coming back this week?
Brighton. Sully March.
Sully March. He's set to return on the 27th. We'll see. I'm not holding my breath on that one because I'm pretty sure I've seen many dates of him coming back. But that player, gosh, 2 years ago was rock solid. He played left back, right wing, center mid. He'll play wherever and he'll put up great stat lines. So if he gets a full 90 in this week, I'll take a peek. And actually, we got to see. I don't even know where his position would be right now.
I'm not sure. I would assume midfield, but
yeah,
you said, he's played everywhere. So I wouldn't be surprised if they labeled him as a defender or attacker. But Well, good. I hope he, you know, they've given him enough time to fully heal and get back out there because. You know, I think if he's out there, I think that'll help Matoma too. He's, you know, another threat that a lot of teams will have to respect. And, you know, lucky for him, they may kind of have forgotten about him a little bit. So he might be able to come in and, you know, get off to a hot start.
They need it.
Yeah, certainly.
They need to get back on track. And then Chad, the last one we got here, Brentford, you know, their home record has been the best, one of the best in the Premier League. And I thought, they got this at home, no problem. And they just looked lackluster, a little disorganized back there. I'm like, okay, I get it. You lose your best center back that you've had. It might not be the same defensively. And I think now we're all going to have to kind of pay attention to that. But no disrespect to Forest either, because this is just a team who's, God, man, on fire.
Yeah, they're looking really good.
The Nuno team, I mean, who saw this coming?
If you know, at the start had to someone say, like, what'll happen first, City collapse or Forest into top four, I don't think anyone's picking Forest in that. You know, it's crazy that they're playing this well, and you know, I feel like at the start when they were doing well, we all just kind of assumed it was just a good start, a little bit more prepared than the other teams, and maybe weren't giving them the full respect. But, you know, they're here. I think they're the real deal, a real challenger for, you know, top four, top six at least. Yeah, I didn't see it coming.
No,
at all. But
and if you did, I'd be like, "What do you know?"
Yeah,
what do you know? Yeah, pretty incredible. I think just the biggest thing for them is their goal differential plus four. Mm-hmm. Again, they have less goals scored than the Wolves. But they're very much a defensive heavy team. I mean, Nuno is a disciple of Mourinho. It's just the way, the way he plays, the way he works. Probably why he got outed at Tottenham, just because he wasn't a goal scoring manager. Yeah. He was a game manager, right? He was there to get points. And, you know, last year when he got brought into Forest, he got him out of relegation. He saved their season. Forest has been like hanging on by their like nails at the end of the seasons now. And now they're what, going to be 9 points away from 40 points and be absolutely safe. And yeah, potential Champions League. How crazy is that? Crazy. That could be, man, if they make Champions League and City doesn't, I don't know which is the bigger storyline.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't decide which is bigger, but
it's probably Forest.
Probably Forest. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It could go either way, honestly. But like, I love, you know, I think a lot of people love the more underdog kind of story. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, to see Forest playing so well, and if they can end in that top four, even, you know, top six, and get into Europe again, would be just a great turnaround for them after, you know, finally making it back into Premier League, and Steve Cooper has them, scraping and fighting along just to survive. And then they make a lot of signings, and, you know, we all kind of gave them a hard time, as we did when Chelsea signed all these players, of like, you have so many players, you don't even know, you know, your best 11. And, but then, you know, actually making a smart pick and getting Nuno in there and giving him the support. I still want to see Carlos Miguel in that net, though. So come on, man. But yeah, you know, I don't think they're the most exciting team to watch, honestly, but they're getting the job done. So that's all that matters right now.
Yep. Good for them. They're up there. They're starting to get taken a little more seriously with each game.
Yeah.
All right. I think we did it for all our games here. The Chelsea record of 15 goals allowed in one season is officially safe. So congrats to them. Yes. In this day and age, the way the game is played, like, that record is just going to hold up forever.
Yeah. I think that's pretty safe. You know, even some of these teams that look like they can come close to it, it's just the pace and you know, the fouls that are called now and stuff. It's just, I think that'll be very safe. And if it ever gets broken or even tied, that's, you know, maybe an even more incredible feat than the original record. So
I would love to go back, and I saw a funny video the other day. It was this guy watching football, and he never watched football before. And he was like, "Oh, I'm watching season one of the NFL." And the guy's like, "Season one?" And he's like, "Yeah, I got to get caught up." And I was like, I would like to do that with Premier League in like a really condensed form.
Yeah.
Just to see how, I mean, yeah, we watched it 10 years ago, but I think just because of the, I guess, the micro changes in the game, it doesn't seem like a lot has changed, but I'm sure if we saw a foul now and a foul then,
Oh my gosh.
Crazy different, right? I don't know. It'd be kind of shocking to go back to see that Chelsea season and like watch their defense just to see what they could get away with. I'll see if I can find any videos, but I'm sure John Terry was absolutely blading people in the knees and Achilles and just, you know, nothing happening. Wouldn't shock me in any way.
Yeah. Well, that too, like, even beyond what fouls get called now with VAR, like, you could maybe get away with it, but then VAR checks it and, you know, now it's a foul. So, yeah, you know, if a team could do it, that would be incredible. But, I don't know. It's a tough thing to do.
Yep. And they were rocking a lot of 4-4-2s back then too. So condensed middle of the pitch. you know, Mourinho's a park the bus type of guy, so he had like six back there at times.
Yeah.
You know, we get it. We get it. All right, nominations, Chaz. Should we get the easy one out of the way?
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm starting to feel like
we got to stop.
We got to stop because it's too easy.
I don't know, man. I think we got to stick to our guns here. We can't, if we change now,
yeah,
things might go sideways.
I'm down to stick with it, and you know, it still feels right, but I did not expect to give this so often.
Do we stop when they get to 10? Do you think that's when we should like cut it off? I feel like 10 is a solid number.
I feel like if they fall to 11, so then bottom half of the table.
Okay. You're irrelevant at that point.
Yeah.
All right. That's fair. It could happen as soon as...
It could be quick.
If they lose this week and 8, 10, 9, 8 win, they're in 10th place. So.
All right. Well.
So maybe in the new year, we'll have to stop this.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll check and adjust there in the new year.
Get our resolution. Okay, well, with the Aston Villa, well done. You did it.
Yes.
You're part of the club. There have been six of y'all this year, and now you're in it. So yeah, easy pick. Check that off. Damn, Chad, the goals and the players for this week, I got kind of too much.
There's a lot, yeah.
I really like Jacob Murphy's goal. Mm-hmm. I liked Rice's goal, the Guedes goal for the Wolves. But I got to give it to my guy Diaz on the flying header from the Trent Alexander swinging in ball. Oh, my God. That was just – you couldn't ask for a better – you couldn't ask for a better assist. And then the layout finish, beautiful. Beautiful. So those are my goals.
Yeah. I pretty much have the same. The only one I'm adding to that was I got to add Sarr in there. He's similar to Declan's goal, but just the confidence to take the ball and, you know, dribble up a little bit and just give a little touch around Saliba to create a little space and get the power and the you know, the position in the goal. So I think it was great, but I think visually, that Diaz goal was just like picture perfect. If you had to Google like you know, crossed ball into a header, like that is it.
Yeah, literally perfect. All right, you down with the Diaz the one?
Yeah, I like that.
Roll with that. Player of the week. Oh man, there's a lot of good players that played this week.
Yeah. There is quite a bit. I mean, Sol is up there. You know, Szoboszlai, all of Liverpool basically.
Half of Liverpool makes the list, yes.
Who else I got here?
Isaac with
Jesus.
Hattie.
Isaac, Hattie, Jesus, shoot.
I'm giving a shout out to Pickford for another clean sheet.
Pickford, that's good.
Coming up big.
I like that. I think that's kind of where I'm at, really.
Saw was kind of there too.
Yeah.
You know, I liked a lot of what Bournemouth was doing. No, like, true standout. That was just, like, a great team game.
Yeah.
You know, Duran kind of getting it started, too, for Villa. I think that's huge. It's tough not to pick Salah. It's tough not to pick a Liverpool player. Isaac, man, it's like, it's close. He got the Hattie. But his hip switch, so I'm like...
That's my only hold up, really.
Yeah. So, I really want to give to Szoboszlai. That was arguably his best like overall game he could have had. His stat line is pretty damn good too. It's not, you know, the perfect goals and assists, but a goal and assist. I mean, let's just go down the line for his stat line so we can get it on the record. Because calculating it was just so fun to read off. It was like you get one of everything here: one goal, one assist, one shot on target, one yellow card, one tackle, one interception, four blocks, one take on. The five GCAs is that's
big.
That's the big number there that we pay attention to. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, making teams think. I mean, 11 shots on target for Liverpool, that's big. 24 overall. We were making them work back there.
Yeah, I mean, this is where he needs to play, right? Like, yep. Under Klopp, he was playing a little further back, which I get that, you know, Gravenberch wasn't really up to speed yet, I guess. But, you know, once you can let Szoboszlai play more advanced and be a little bit more of that creative role, he's just going to cook. And, I mean, here you go. This was the perfect game to show what he's capable of. I felt like any time there was a Liverpool attack, if he wasn't on the ball, he was right up there around it, ready to pounce, ready to be, you know, available for a pass, whatever. So I like watching him. It's a pretty entertaining player. So, I like that. I like that shout.
I think he earns it. Mm-hmm. He's playing like he plays for Hungary, which is the type of player we kind of needed and wanted, just a new attacking midfielder. We're glazing over him pretty hard. The whole subreddit for Liverpool, you should go take a peek in it. It was the last like 5 days. Oh my God. It's just like profile pic of him after him, after him, like the three midfielders together.
It's fair.
Yep. Slot ball is looking pretty nice right now. Pretty nice. Yeah. So, Boxing Day, big list of games coming. It's going to be a busy week. I think we check back. We'll check back here on the weekend. And then maybe do our New Year, our resolution pick'ems. Or our reset on the table to see how wrong we were, how right we were at the mid-table.
I'm sorry, Forrest.
Forrest is definitely the big one. And then, of course, West Ham. You know, they're at 20 points, though, now. It's 8 points out of fifth, Chad. That's nothing too crazy. Nah,
still pretty tight.
So. But I said top four, so I got to readjust.
Yeah, for sure.
A little readjustment.
Yeah, some fun games on Boxing Day. I mean, Man City Everton.
Yep.
On paper doesn't sound like it, but I think must watch considering where we're at. Mm-hmm. Newcastle Villa should be spicy. Forest Tottenham I think will be spicy. I think that Wolves United game can be a little interesting. Yeah, I mean, plenty to watch. Of course, they put them all at like the same time, so thanks for that. But
I might go like triple box that day just to get it all in.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, get the Peacock accounts going.
Yeah.
All right, Chad. I think we nailed it. Have a great Christmas Eve. Enjoy Moonraker. I miss that place.
Yeah.
Have a beer for me, and
will do.
We'll regroup and go again.
Yeah. Merry Christmas and enjoy your holiday. And here we go.
Here we go.
Turn around and then right back into it.
2025 is almost here. Until then, this is episode 89 of the Hooligans Pitch. Have a great Christmas. We'll see you later.
Peace.